Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
This is part number 62 in my series on liberalism, the new improved broad road to destruction. Last week, before I start tonight's program, I want to mention that last week I did a little movie review, very little small movie review of a UFO movie called The Arrival. Now, I would like to, and with some thoughts about ufology in general. So I guess I want to entitle this part of my program, The Arrival Revisited. And then if I have time, I will go to my next topic. If not, I will move it to my next podcast, or perhaps get my foot in the door and do part of the podcast, the next topic I want to deal with. But it came to my attention that someone had said, UFOs play no role in the end times. The only ones are with Scientology. I know that's kind of hard to understand. I think I know what she meant. There is nothing in the Word of God that even remotely refers or discusses UFOs. Well, I wanted to comment on that because I figured there might be some others out there who might also think that way as well. And I just wanted to make sure it was clear what I was saying and what I wasn't saying. You know, there is nothing... God's word doesn't specifically mention UFOs, for instance, as alien fixed craft, spacecraft or such. But it says a lot about signs in the skies and the work of deceiving spirits in the last days. In fact, I have a verse that I'm going to quote here, but... it says a lot about signs and the work of deceiving spirits in the last days. And of course, we see that fulfillment in great measure these days. One of the verses supporting that, of course, is 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. So of course, the origin of these doctrines of demons as coming from seducing spirits, not just from the vessels, the human beings that are being used. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It's that idea that these human vessels are being used to bring these doctrines of demons, and it's the seducing spirits and their activity in using spiritism or the occult practice of spiritism, contacting spirits in various under various forms, let's say. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. The Oprah Winfrey phenomenon, for instance, with the tremendous interest in New Age spirituality and all of the various New Age type, New Spirituality type authors and speakers and people that she's had over the many years, just sort of reflects the interest in our culture alone, much less in other cultures of the other worlds, other nations of this world. Also, as I say, the worldwide massive involvement with spiritism, that is channeling of demonic deceiving spirits, also known in past times and in the Bible as mediumship. You know, the Bible says that Satan comes as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. But you know, he also comes as animals, dead people, even Jesus Christ himself. Many channelers have claimed that Jesus Christ is speaking through them, of course. And in some cases, it's probably fraudulent. And in other cases, no doubt, it is a demon impersonating our Lord himself. And then, of course, Satan always also comes as aliens, big time, a lot, in a lot of different cultures, different countries, different cults, and also in general, not just in UFO cults, but in general in society, more and more. In fact, there's an enormous amount of demonic deceptions through both what are known as contactee and alleged abductee experiences in the realm of ufology, claiming to be aliens with or without their spacecraft, I should say. Now, this is part of the fulfillment of that verse in Timothy. And I think one of the reasons for the forming of this massive grassroots substitute religion worldwide of ufology. I mentioned that, quoting from Ken Ham's Creation Magazine article, which was from the September-November 1997 Creation Magazine. In fact, the title of that article, or the author, the title is God and the Extraterrestrials, by Professor Werner Gitt. But I might add that Ken Ham, the head of Answers in Genesis, has also put out a booklet with another individual, which I have in my library. I wasn't able to find it before I did the talk, which has some of the very same content, almost verbatim quotes from this article. So Ken Ham's magazine, Creation Magazine, and his little booklet on this whole topic talks about this massive, you know, substitute religion worldwide. And in fact, let me just read to you from page 47 through 48. The article goes on to quote 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 11 concerning the Antichrist coming and the strong delusion that will come from God. Now, let me just read that for you. The article, an article that was quoted in this article, quoted sociologist Gerald Eberlein as saying, "Research has shown that people who are not affiliated with any church but who claim that they are religious are particularly susceptible to the possible existence of extraterrestrials. For them, ufology is a substitute religion." And of course, that's happening on a massive scale worldwide. The Bible goes somewhat deeper in this matter, identifying a supplementary cause and effect. And this is a repeat from last week. I just thought I should repeat this information and these scriptures. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 11, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." This strong delusion is a delusion which will take place around the time of the appearing of the Antichrist. Of course, people are deluded every day when they reject God. But this is something a little different. This is a God-sent strong delusion in the last days. The Bible gives a description of reality concerning all living things. "The living God reveals himself as the triune one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In heaven, there are the angels who also serve mankind on the earth. But there is another reality, and that is of the devil and the demons." Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 talks about the prince of the power of the air, whose reign is on earth, and the devil has his own repertoire of deception in the form of various occult practices and a multitude of religious rites. Of course, I mentioned Spiritism. Could it be that behind those unexplainable reports is the work of the arch deceiver? Now, I want to make some comments before I go back to that last point. You know, since Satan is leading many to this substitute religion, it seems likely to me that the ET UFO scenario will also be part of this ultimate deception known as the strong delusion, or this great delusion. Now, I can't be dogmatic that it is alien-centered, nor can anyone else be dogmatic that it's not. Only God knows exactly what form this great delusion will take. Now, Bill Alnor, in the footnotes of this article I just read, and I didn't see this the first time I read it, so I'm glad I reread it, and to you this evening. The author of this article, in his footnotes, mentions Bill Alnor. And let me just tell you what he wrote here. He said, "William Alnor, cult expert and award-winning journalist, has studied the UFO phenomenon for many years. His book, UFOs in the New Age, documents his investigations, leading to the conclusion that the UFO phenomenon has an occult source." Well, you know who Bill Alnor is, folks. He's our very own Jackie Alnor's husband, who's with the Lord now. And he was very involved. He wrote two books, as I believe this author mentioned, or he only mentioned the one. But I have two of his books on UFOs, and he's written at least one other book, probably more. But you know, Jackie Alnar, who heads up our network, the Rapture Ready Radio Network, was of course heavily involved in exposing deceptions of the enemy. And actually, as I say, he wrote two books on the topics of UFOs. That's how serious he saw this topic, just as I do. Now, I know I'm in very good company, along with other people such as Dr. John Weldon, who held similar views. And in his booklet, The Facts on UFOs and Other Supernatural Phenomenon, which is written by John Ankerberg and John Weldon, answers to most asked questions. And let me just say this. Weldon, I was going to say this later. Let me say it now. He has written, and I read books by him many years ago, over 40 years ago, that he wrote from a Christian perspective on UFOs. Before he became the senior researcher for the John Ankerberg Ministries. And I have some of those books in my library, but this was the easiest one for me to find, and the most recent book before Dr. Weldon went to be with the Lord. There's a whole series, the Facts On series. I don't know if it's still in print or not from John Ankerberg's Ministries, but you might want to look into it. Excellent information, in my opinion. But anyway, he wrote several other books, as I said, and he also, in this book, well, let me just mention, before I quote from that book, that's what I want to do, but I think I want to do that a little bit later. Oh, yes, here we are. I do want to read that now. Excuse me. I have a lot of material here. In page 42 through 43, he wrote, "Does the Bible answer the dilemma of UFOs one way or the other? We think it does. While the Bible does not comment directly upon UFOs, it also does not comment directly upon a large number of other topics, such as abortion, euthanasia, and genetic engineering. However, it does offer principles by which all these subjects may be evaluated. Given what we know from the phenomena we are experiencing, the Bible does have a good deal to teach about the subject. If UFO phenomena are occultic, then the Bible condemns involvement with them as much as any other occultic pursuit." And of course, the scriptures are referenced, Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 12. I won't read those. You can read them for yourself. If the UFO entities give anti-biblical messages, encourage the pursuit of the occult, and deny the biblical teach on Jesus Christ, God, and salvation, biblical authority, then it is incredible that a Christian can think UFOs could be divine. And I realize most Christians don't, but there are some who claim to be Christians who believe that UFOs could even be divine. But more pertinent to my study here and to my answer to the comments that I read, he says, "In fact, in 20 years of researching this field, including reading through tens of thousands of pages of information by hundreds of authors, we have yet to find a single indication that UFOs or UFO entities could be divine." Now, again, back to where I really want to go here. Several scriptures may have some bearing upon the UFO phenomenon. For example, the Bible teaches that in the last times, Satan will come upon the world with all power and signs and false wonders and with all the deception of wickedness, and that God will allow great signs in the sky. Of course, I just read from 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 10, so I won't repeat that. But he references Luke 21, 11 as well, which you can look up on your own time. Thus, a phenomenon like satanic UFOs might be expected as our age draws to a close. Ephesians 2, 2 refers to Satan when it speaks of the prince of the power of the air. In the original Greek text, the word power, or exousia, is a collective term meaning the whole empire of evil spirits, and the term air, aer, means the lower atmosphere, physical air in the normal sense. The demonic center of power, according to this text, is the lower atmosphere around the earth. If the air is the region of the demon's might, we can see the UFO interconnection that could exist. Scripture says that we war against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. All in all, everything one would expect of spiritual warfare and deception can be found in the UFO phenomenon. Satan is described as being the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the ruler of this world, John 16:11, and the deceiver of the nations in Revelation 23. We are also told that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, and that's 1 John 5:19. In conclusion, we see no evidence at all that the UFO phenomenon can be considered either divine or biblical, but as he pointed out, is most likely tied to demonic spirituality. Now, also, you know, I mentioned that I felt that I was in pretty good company with people like John Weldon and, of course, Bill Alnor. But I also want to mention another one of my heroes in the faith, Dave Hunt. And, you know, these some of these other great apologists hold a similar view, as I have in my notes here. Dave Hunt, along with his other books and articles, wrote and spoke extensively about the ET UFO phenomenon. I learned a lot from these men as I thoroughly studied this subject. I recommend all their body of work, you know, on the subject of discernment and apologetics in general, but also specifically in the area of ufology. Now, I might add, I've had over the years many, many opportunities to visit UFO conferences, New Age conferences, etc., to do some of my own, to add additional research to what I gathered from these men of God. But I also would have to say, and I mentioned some of the articles last week, people like Ken Ham, of, you know, the director of Answers in Genesis. He also holds views along these lines, as do many of the contributors to his ministry. Also, there are many others, some I quoted last week, who've done their homework. You know, you've got to look into this whole topic rather than just reject it wholeheartedly, you know, without doing really looking below the surface, getting into the scripture and looking into this thing, which many people haven't, I realize. But then that's why people like me are here. And hopefully, you know, if you'll do your homework and if you'll look into some of the information that I give to back up what I'm saying. It's like, you know, you go to the courtroom and the lawyer wants to present his case, and so he has documented evidence and that type of stuff. So if you look at the documentation, I think you'll be fascinated, again, that you can't be dogmatic, that this is how it's going to happen, but it's certainly a strong possibility, and I personally believe this is how, that there will be some involvement and some thought along these lines. Anyway, I'm repeating myself, but let me move on to recommend some of these other articles that, you know, tell you how you can go and find these in a little more detail. Of course, I plan on doing a fuller treatment on ufology and spiritism in future podcasts. I just haven't gotten around to it yet, but that's on my to-do list. And until I get there, I'll recommend to you some other resources and things you can look into concerning this particular topic of ufology and ETs in the end times. Now. I quoted some last week, and I'm going to list their articles and a couple others, and sites for you, you know, where you can find these articles. Now, I mentioned and quoted just a little bit from "Could an Alien Deception Be Part of the End Times?" and that's from gotquestions.org. I mentioned and quoted just briefly from the Study, Grow, and Know website. The article is called "Growing ET and ETI Awareness." Then, of course, today I once again re-mentioned to you God and the Extraterrestrials from Creation Magazine, September-November 1997. And then I also mentioned the booklet from Answer in Genesis, which I don't have that. I can't give you the title, but I'm sure you can find it. I got it myself from, it's okay. I'm sorry, my dog wanted to come in and be part of the broadcast. For all you dog lovers, that's not a problem, I know. Anyway, bye-bye. She just kind of, you know, invites herself into the activities. Anyway, this booklet, I'm sure you could probably, it's probably still in print from Answers in Genesis. Also, Alien Abductions, which is from Answers in Genesis's website, called Alien Abductions, Freaky or Fiction, by Dr. Danny R. Faulkner. And then there's Aliens, UFOs, and a False New Age Christ by Barrett. I never can pronounce her last name. Barrett Kohos, which is K-J-O-S. She's a frequent contributor to the Lighthouse Trails Publications blog. And Lighthouse Trails, of course, puts out some excellent books and booklets dealing with discernment issues. But that site is lighthousetrailsresearch.com/blog. So that's another article you can look at. Now, I plan on doing comprehensive programs, as I said, on ufology and spiritism in the future. But for those who don't want to wait, I do have two workshops. I was invited to speak at a discernment conference in New Mexico, Santa Fe, New Mexico, a number of years ago. I've spoken on this topic on several cults conferences and discernments, but this is one that they have preserved online along with all the other speakers at the conference. So I can tell you how to go there if you're interested. You just Google Discern 05. Or the site itself is discernconference.org/conference/discern05. The easiest way that I can find it is just to go to discern05 and, you know, just Google it. And then when you get there, scroll down the list of workshops. You could to my first one, Spiritism, A Clear and Present Danger, and I recommend that because of the intertwining of spiritism and ufology. Of course, you know, spiritism comes in all different sizes, shapes, and forms, but because, as I mentioned before, it's a big part of the UFO phenomenon as well, even though everybody that's into UFOs aren't necessarily into spiritism. But anyway, you will hear all that if you listen to my talk. And then after you find that particular talk, if you're interested in that talk, then as you scroll down, you'll see a tab that says load more, which means you'll have to load some more talks to get to my other talk. And then you can scroll down to my second talk, which is UFOs, Vehicles into the New Age, or Satan's Crash and Burn. I also had the opportunity to do an interview on a program called Topic UFO, by not a particular Christian program. In fact, he named the title of our show the Christian Point of View. You know, UFOs, the Christian Point of View. You can find that on YouTube, Topic UFO. Finally, when I speak of the grassroots substitute religion of ufology, I'm not, and I want to emphasize that, I'm not just speaking of Scientology, you know, or one of the many other saucer cults, because there are many of them that are out there, but rather the huge false UFO New Age spirituality that permeates just about all worldwide cultures, as I mentioned before. Just to give you an idea of how many of these saucer cults there are, though, I mean, people who are actually following cult leaders as opposed to who are involved in grassroots beliefs and believe in ufology as part of their religion. You have groups like the Raelians in Toronto, Canada, the Aetherius Society, I believe they're in England, God's Salvation Church, I'm not sure if they're still around, but they were based in Taiwan. George Adamski, many years ago in the 50s, met with a group of people called, it was the Giant Rock, you know, they met at a big rock out in California desert. The Order of the Solar Temple, the authors of the Urantia book, if you're familiar with that, they claim to be ETs. And then, of course, one of the more infamous UFO saucer cults was Heaven's Gate. Now, this particular UFO cult is no longer operating, to my knowledge, because at least most of the people, there may be some who weren't part of the actual event, but most of these people took their own lives in a mass suicide. And this is where I'm going to move into tonight's topic, what time I have left for it, but we will get our foot in the door. You know, speaking of mass suicides, you know, I'd like to talk to you now in addition to Jim Jones' suicide cult, the People's Temple, it was called. Now, how about that for a segue, folks, from one suicide cult, UFO suicide cult, to just a plain old normal suicide cult. Well, I don't know how normal, if you get my drift, but anyway, I'd like to move on now to that, and we will not make it through all of this material, but we will finish, I believe we'll finish this topic through next week's podcast. I should have enough time to wrap this up. So, Now, how many, you know, this is a question that you can't answer since it's a rhetorical question, I guess. But how many of you remember where you were when you heard about the mass suicide at Jonestown in Guyana? Now, some of you may not have even been born yet, and because it's been a while. But I do remember where I was. I was working my way through Bible college at the time. I was working at a local newspaper. And it was in the wee hours of the morning. I went in Saturday night to help get out the Sunday newspaper. I was a driver and dropped off the bundles of papers to the different routes. And I was it was towards the end of the evening, and we were just getting ready to get home, ready to take off and go home. And the paper came out, and the headlines were, you know, mass suicide over in Guyana. A lot of people didn't even know who Jim Jones were. They did if they were living in California, of course. And I don't know how many people know that actually Jim Jones was from my home state of Indiana. So anyway, I remember somebody saying, you know, go to California where all the fruits, nuts, and flakes are. And then I've heard people say, yeah, but they all came from somewhere else. So I guess in the case of Jim Jones, that would apply. But anyway, this event actually took place a long time ago. That's why I say some of you may not have been born yet. I don't know if many of you knew that November 18th of this year marks the 40th anniversary of this event. And I was at a local library recently when I saw a poster that said, "Don't drink the Kool-Aid." And I thought, wow, what's that about? And yes, that is where that phrase originated from, folks, if you didn't know that. This poster was inviting folks to come hear a survivor from Jonestown. And I thought, wow, I guess there were a few. I had heard that. And I went. And sadly, though she had survived the literal Kool-Aid 40 years ago, in another way, this woman has really metaphorically continued to drink the Kool-Aid, or drink one of the flavors, let's say, of the Kool-Aid. And I'll elaborate that on that later. I'm getting close to the end of my talk, so let me just finish up by saying the lady's name was Laura Johnson Cole, and she actually wrote the book Jonestown Survivor, An Insider's Look. And this was held at the local university where I live. And so I decided to go out to the lectures I often do to these type of events to find out, especially an event, any type of event, of course, involving a cult I'd be interested in. Now, she wrote this book in 2010, and I assume that she was kind of on the lecture circuit promoting this book because of this 40th anniversary that's coming up. She claimed to be an atheist before she got involved with People's Temple. And that's where we'll close the program, and we will continue next week. So God bless you all, and I hope you'll return with us next week.